Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Well, Steve, good to have you back. Enjoyed your story on Tuesday. How are you today? You doing all right this day too?
I'm doing great. I'm building on the excitement of our previous podcast.
So before we talk about the rest of the story, tell us about what the thing you're most thankful for this time in your life.
I'm going to say my lovely and amazing wife, Marianne. And I know a lot of people might pick a spouse or their partner, et cetera, but the thing I want to thank her for specifically, or I'm grateful for, is this little foreshadowing of the story about to come up today. Is when I came to her and said, hey, I think I want to quit my corporate America job and go out on my own and become a professional speaker, that she enthusiastically said yes and believed in me to make it happen. Because, you know, so often the folks who are really close to you can be the toughest ones. And it meant we'd have to change our, tighten up our bootstraps and, budgets and stuff. But her belief in me was so powerful and so important. So wow. She rocks.
That's for sure. There, you are a blessed man. Yes. For sure. All right. So Steve, tell us about that other small-time leader in your life.
Small-time leader with a huge impact is my brother, Bill. And the quick backstory is he and I were 2 years apart, grew up, nice family, got along together. We even as kids talked about, wouldn't it be cool someday if we could work together, like we might own a backpack shop or something. In fact, one summer we both worked out at the YMCA of the Rockies. We're roommates and all that kind of stuff. We did end up working together, not the way we expected, but we worked together at a family advertising agency. We'd each worked elsewhere and gotten kind of our sea legs and our chops, and we came back in our 30s and started working there. And I was mediumly happy. Along the side, though, and if you didn't get a chance to hear the previous story, I'll give you the 30-second recap. I'd gone to a motivational speaker, was inspired to try stand-up comedy. I started doing stand-up comedy on the side. Was it okay? I mean, I wasn't Jay Leno or anything, but I did enough to have fun. And I actually started putting on through a friend I met in California. Like, I'd written books and been a comedian for years. He and I, just on the side, put on a comedy seminar outside of New York and LA and Chicago, like in these smaller markets where there's actually money to be made. This is in 2004. There's money to be made in comedy if you're willing to work clean. Let's say I'm at a regional sales meeting and you can make several thousand dollars for a half hour of clean comedy. There's money to be made.
Sure.
So I put on that seminar on the side with him, just had some fun. We were slightly profitable. But the fun part was, and I did notice at the time, but my brother was kind of watching me as I did this. And he saw me as we did the promotion. I got on the local NPR station for PR. I got on the number one drive time radio show in the afternoon. I did all this kind of great stuff. And that led us to a breakfast we had at Panera Bread Company. I think I had a cinnamon crunch bagel. I'm not sure on that, but that's my favorite one to go to. And in this conversation, we were chatting and he just looked at me and said, Steve, you're a fine fellow. You're a great guy and you're a good member of the agency. He said, but when I see you do all this stuff for the comedy and the speaking and all the stuff on the side, he said, I see in you a spark and excitement and energy. He said, have you ever considered? And I interrupted him on the spot and I said, okay, I'll do it. I'm going to quit my job. And he wasn't trying to kick me out. What I love the fact is he recognized in me something I didn't see myself. Mm. And I thought that was just such a, and I think I said this in the previous podcast too, but so often it's those people closest to us who are our biggest enemies and they cut us down or, they see our inadequacies or our little shortcomings and say, you'll never make it or there's too much to overcome. But both, my wife who said yes after his encouragement and then my brother saying, hey, Steve, have you ever considered? I'm very blessed.
Yeah. The Bible says two are better than one, right?
Absolutely. 100%.
If you fall down, someone will pick you up.
Yep.
So it sounds like your brother saw what made you most alive and encouraged you with. Do you remember that conversation, how that went? with him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just what was so neat about what he did. And by the way, I'm going to say something. You made an interesting comment about the Bible reference. There's some great research done by a Yale professor. This is, gosh, years ago, but he looked at the men and women who survived Nazi concentration camps. And what he found was those who, the basic unit of survival in that kind of a situation is the pair, is two people. If two people are going along, if one stumbles, they could pick each other up, they could share food, they could encourage each other, that, you know, so it's really interesting that you said that, that just kind of recalled that research. But my brother, what I loved about what he did is that he was three things. Like, I think it's like a stool that I think we need to have when we're going to engage in someone in kind of a deep conversation like this. He was honest, he was direct, and he was also encouraging. Do you think about that? With someone who's honest and direct without encouraging, it can be painful. Direct and encouraging without being honest, you know, if you take one of those away, it doesn't quite work. So I love the fact that neither of us was expecting a big, huge revelation that morning, but we had an openness with each other, and he had a willingness to speak and I had a willingness to hear. And so that's like what made all the difference.
Wow. It's special to have, you had some great friends in your life, people around you. So how these lessons about being honest, direct, and encouraging show up in your life and your work these days?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think about that when I work with clients, when I do one-on-one coaching, when, you know, if someone says, hey, can you help us do this? Well, if I can give them feedback that is honest, direct, but also encouraging, I think it's almost an unstoppable power. I've even tried to do it with my daughters. They're now in college and doing their thing, but we tried to be as direct and honest with them, but also encouraging, recognizing in them their gifts and their talents. Direct and honest can also be, you know, recognizing when they need to change your direction as well. So it shows up in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Thanks so much for reminding us of that. You'd say the power of two that mm-hmm. you mentioned, and then to kind of know what makes you most alive and find somebody to help encourage you to get there. So great lessons for us all. As we wrap this up, Steve, could you tell everyone how to get in touch with you and any information like that? We do, of course, have the show notes with all the details, but
absolutely
speak to that if you won't mind.
So. Sure. Yeah. No, the best way is my website is hityourstride.com, just like the running term. hityourstride.com. And what's even fun about that is I tried to get my name stevehughes.com and it was taken by an Australian comedian of all people. But what's fun is even that I'm a former runner before I had a couple injuries, but I love the idea of hitting your stride is so important, because if you overstride, you'll run out of energy. If you understride, you're not using everything you have. Find that perfect stride, and that's when you excel and optimal performance follows. So
thank you for sharing with us and helping us remember those small things are so important in life. And you have a good rest of your week.
You too. Thanks so much, Michael.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode, and join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.